The 37-acre campus of Atlanta's Morris Brown College sits largely vacant, awaiting sale. And while the future of this nearly 130-year-old institution is uncertain, I decided to take a look back at one aspect of its past. I talked to Dr. Tim Crimmins, director of the Center for Neighborhood and Metropolitan Studies at Georgia State University. I met him at Morris Brown one windy day to talk about one of the school's most famous teachers, W.E.B. Du Bois. Du Bois arrived in Atlanta from Philadelphia around 1897. His time at what was then Atlanta University was particularly prolific, producing social science papers on history,
social studies and politics,
and a number of autobiographies.
Because he lived so long. But for Atlanta, the seminal work, I think, is his 1903 Souls of Black Folk, which was written here in Stone Hall.
We're standing in front of what was sort of the centerpiece of Morris Brown College.
Yes, it's the clock tower that many recognize looking from downtown Atlanta west, because we're up here so high on a hill, and this clock tower marks the campus.
This imposing building says to me that this was sort of the hub of the entire campus. Is that correct?
Yes, and it served as an administration building and faculty offices, and the most famous and important person who had an office here was W.E.B. Du Bois.
The aforementioned book of essays, The Souls of Black Folk, is perhaps best known for its essay of Mr. Booker T. Washington and others.
That he wrote in response to Booker T. Washington's address at the Cotton States Exposition here in Atlanta at Piedmont Park, which Du Bois dubbed the Atlanta Compromise.
Booker T. Washington's Atlanta Compromise was an agreement between African-American leaders and white leaders that Southern blacks would work meekly and submit to white political rule, while whites guaranteed that blacks would receive basic education and due process of law. In The Souls of Black Folk, Du Bois referred to this segregation as the color line, writing in the book's introduction,
"The problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line."
Du Bois saw this compromise as a complete surrender of the demand for civil and political equality. In response, he insisted that African Americans demand equality, voting rights, and to aspire to higher education. This distaste for compromise may have come from an encounter he had soon upon arriving in Atlanta.
One of the things that Du Bois thought he could do when he came south was create a dialogue with other leaders. And he was on his way to visit with the Atlanta Constitution editor, Joel Chandler Harris, and he had a letter of introduction. And when he was on his way there, he saw on display parts of the hand of an African American who had been hung recently in a lynching, and was so appalled at that that he determined that that kind of dialogue was not possible. And he turned around and came back here to the Atlanta University campus.
Dr. Crimmins, to me, it sounds a little like Du Bois might have been giving up.
Well, Du Bois continued the struggle throughout his life. The environment that he found himself here in the South made him realize the kind of dehumanizing element of the imposition of the color line, that the legal route, ultimately the NAACP's, was what had to be done to bring about an end to the second-class status that African Americans were subjected to.
Now, granted, it was another six decades or so before a number of his dreams for the African-American community in America came true. However, there was slow advancement even the years following Du Bois' departure from the States.
Well, if you think of the prediction that Du Bois had, that the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line, and in the course of the 20th century, the United States dismantled the legal element of the color line. We're still, of course, dealing with the aftermath of it. And so in that regard, the legacy of W.E.B. Du Bois is monumental. The effort that he had with the founding of the NAACP and his writings, he was just a towering figure that has had a profound effect. And our memorial to him here is Stone Hall in Atlanta, where he wrote The Souls of Black Folk.
Dr. Tim Cremins of Atlanta's Georgia State University there in a piece that was produced by City Cafe's Mike Johns. I spoke to him outside of Stone Hall, now called Fountain Hall, on the campus of Morris Brown College. The City of Atlanta and Friendship Baptist Church are offering $12.6 million to buy out nearly all of the Morris Brown campus in West Atlanta.